welcome to the debut episode of Who's Ghost Stories. Today, I've got paranormal enthusiast Professor Alex Wheaton with me and my research expert, Sean. I'm, of course, Andrew Huzar from Huzar Reiki and Readings. This series is looking at local legends, ghost stories, haunted locations, things like that. We are not here to prove or debunk anything. We're coming out of a place of love and curiosity. I grew up loving these tales, but I was always too chicken to go to them. So we are going to dig up any lore that we can find. And then we are actually going to go to the place. And we're going to see what we experience, if anything. And we're going to let you all know. The first place that we've got today is we are looking at the Erie Cemetery. And there are two specific locations that we're for sure checking out. We also found a couple interesting tidbits that we want to take a look at. I'm going to go ahead and pass over to our research expert to see what he's dug up.
Opening in 1851, the Erie Cemetery is located in the center of the city of Erie and is the final resting place of over 50,000 souls.
50,000?
The first of these was Alexander W. Brewster on May the 26th, 1851. The Erie Cemetery is home to many prominent locals, including Daniel Dobbins, a veteran of the War of 1812, Strong Vincent, a general at the Battle of Gettysburg, and Sarah A. Reed, who was a founding member of the Association for Improving the Conditions of the Poor and a Home for the Friendless.
50,000 people? 50,000. What's the population of Erie?
Oh, it's pretty high.
It's like 70,000.
Yeah. Jesus.
And, I mean, one of the things that you kind of tend to forget unless you live right near the cemetery is that it's like 8-9 full city blocks.
Yeah.
Like, it's a large property. It's the whole reason why anytime there's usually any kind of phone call to animal control in town for coyotes, it's usually in the Erie Cemetery because it's so big that you can have wild animals in the middle of the city that they're just roaming because they got in. It's like, yeah, we get, yeah, I don't know how many times you've heard, but deer, coyotes, badgers, like weird animals you wouldn't expect to find in the city are usually right around there because of the large property that is the Erie Cemetery. It has to be big enough for 50,000 bodies.
Oh, I'm going to bring that up once we get to one of these apparitions here because that raises a good point. So like many cemeteries, the Erie Cemetery has many legends and ghost stories, ranging from tales of spirits following you all the way to Satan worship. One such tale is that of a black dog apparition. As the legend goes, visitors to the cemetery have claimed to witness a black dog wandering around for the graves, only for this dog to vanish as they approach it. Assuming you are still walking in the cemetery after a close encounter with a hellhound, you may come across a circular grouping of headstones. This is the alleged site of a satanic ritual, during which Satan himself was said to have been summoned, dragging the followers with him back to the depths of hell. As you continue, there are several tombstones in this area with scorch marks potentially a result of this satanic encounter. One of the most famous and mysterious tombs in the Erie Cemetery...
Real quick, Andrew, before you continue, isn't this also locally known as the Witcher Circle?
Yes.
Okay. I would say, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, this is the same thing, so if someone's listening or watching and they're thinking, it sounds familiar, but they're not calling it the Witch's Circle, is that something else? I just wanted to verify that that is what, locally, we refer to that circle of satanic worship as the Witch's Circle.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And then, of course, the Vampire Crypt.
Yes.
It is one of the most famous and mysterious tombs in the Erie Cemetery. And it's a very elaborate crypt, detailed, and it has a strange V on the front. Some people say it's a flower, but we'll definitely take a look at it. But the real name of the grave is the Brown Vault, and the last entombment was in 1880. Although the crypt's owned by the Brown family, all seven of the occupants have the surname Goodrich. That's really weird.
I know.
So somebody
it's the
paid...
Brown family vault, but it's the Goodrich.
So the Brown family paid probably a hefty penny for this vault.
Yep.
But it's only the Goodriches. So I have a question, thinking about this, just elaborating, you know, being the paranormal enthusiast that I am. if we do consider this as the wonderful legend of the Vampire Vault, would it be possible that the Brown family may or may not have been, in the past, a group of vampire hunters, whether or not they are still to this day, and that's why they bought the vault, to make sure that it stays sealed? Just thinking out loud, you know, based off of the fact that we know it's not any of the Brown family is buried in it. Just no. Thoughts, things that we don't really think about when we hear the legends.
And I like this first legend up here. I'll let you read the second one that Sean found. But the legend associated with the landmark attempts to fill in some of the blanks. These tales surmise that the V does not stand for vendetta, and in fact stands for vampire. Eeriites call this the Vampire Crypt. One origin story involves a wealthy man making a business trip to Romania, where he fell ill. Upon his return, he died and was interred into the Brown Vault. A week later, dead bodies began to be found in the area surrounding, being drained of their blood, with signature bite wounds on their neck.
And knowing that Erie Cemetery, I would say I have a copyright here, but considering, you know, that Erie Cemetery is right in the middle of town, even in the old days, like, the town went up to what, like, 26th almost?
As I say, that was... That it's now in the center of town,
but it
that
would have
was,
been right at the edge. Yeah,
that was considered the outskirts.
Yeah, that was right there. So, I mean, that was all we know. It was all farmland. That's the other thing, is we know that back at this time, this upper part of the town was farmland. So that raises some interesting thoughts about that. So yeah, the another tale involves a teenage boy breaking into the hallowed grounds. Always a mistake, but. As proof of his brave venture, he had removed a ring from the corpse. Why? Next morning, the boy was found dead in his room with the color drained from his body, his face contorted in a look of sheer terror, and his ring finger ripped from his hand. As the truth of this vault has been taken to the grave, do remember that, like all evil entities, having the name of that entity gives you power and dominion over it. This may be, in fact, why this grave is nameless. Interesting.
So the Erie Cemetery is definitely just a sliver of the eerie things that happen in our city. This is but an appetizer. We hope if you're ever in the area, you visit the site and be respectful of the grounds. Definitely something there. Like I said, we're not going out as ghost hunters, but we will be posting pictures and any videos we take of the areas. You will notice that we're always respectful. If you do go out to any of these places, don't leave garbage, don't break anything, don't be rude to people. Definitely don't be rude to the ghosts and spirits that inhabit the place.
Mostly because you never know what may follow you home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You don't want to come home with a negative attachment all of a sudden. And especially a place like the Erie Cemetery, a lot of paranormal groups and people do go there a lot because it is public ground once they're open. So just be good people when you go.
Be respectful.
And with the Vampire Crypt, I'm going to start there, then I'm going to circle back to the Witch's Circle. As you can see, my notes are all over the place here. But... There was an interesting thing, too, I think with one of these, it says. I think it might be the Erie Reader. It talked about how it was adding on to, like, your legend, that, like, apparently, according to this one legend, same exact thing, but the groundskeeper of the cemetery put two and two together, and he's the one that then put the lock on the tomb, because one of the things you'll notice that we'll take pictures of is the Vampire Crypt not only has the stone slab door, it has a metal grate door, and then there is an actual padlock on the outside.
Yeah, you cannot get into it.
No, so I think that was tying into that legend of the groundskeeper. It was like, hey, people are showing up drained, this guy just came back from Romania, we gotta lock it. And I think in one of these two, which I didn't know was a literary thing. It mentions that vampires, according to this one legend, part of it, it said he was infected with the vampire virus, but he succumbed to a certain ailment, and then he re-rose as a vampire. So I'd find that interesting, too, if he died as a person. And came back as a vampire, almost kind of like a zombie type deal.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that before, but I thought that was interesting too.
I was going to say, building off the lore, if you actually think about it, vampires in any media, the vampires always have caretakers. So what if the Brown family was responsible for this group of vampires?
That is very true. And to build off what Alex mentioned earlier, just how big it is, 75 acres.
Yep. For a city cemetery, that is amazing.
Right in the heart of the city.
It's also, fun fact about it, literally a block and a half away is a very private, but an old school Jewish cemetery. No one, there's no public access of the temple there, but it's interesting that it's literally a block away. It's so close.
Well, that was one of the things, too, in doing research. Erie Cemetery was the first localized cemetery, because prior to that, all of the cemeteries were at the individual churches in town, and realizing that they couldn't sustain that and keeping all of their dead on the grounds of these churches, that's when they created the localized cemetery.
That makes a lot of sense why it would have an opening date of 1851 following the War of 1812 and everything locally that was happening around that time. They needed a place for these bodies. And I think they're still burying people there today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is just wild, just in the middle of the city of Erie. You can drive by and someone's just being buried.
So keep looking at the story, and the more and more I think about it, why only seven bodies of the Goodrich family? And my question is, when was that crypt officially constructed? Because if the last burial was 1880, and we know that it opened in 1851, that's only 29 years.
Yeah.
That's 29 years, you had eight people, or seven people, all from the Goodrich family die and be buried there. And that's when the last one happened. Like, why that 29 year span, and why only those seven?
So I know part of the answer. Like I said, this became a localized cemetery. So a lot of the bodies from these churches were relocated there. So I'm sure some of them died before 1850, but that doesn't mean all of them did.
And the other question, though, is since the vault's been locked for how long, we don't know the accurate years of anyone, because all those dates would be on the walls in the vault.
Like you said, we barely knew the name of the vault, because it has no markers on it.
No. It's interesting. So here's, I was looking for this, from medium.com, and I'm sad I didn't print off, that's the one website I didn't print off. there was a third legend about the crypt, still going with it. They mentioned the boy getting that took the finger and, well, the ring, and then he died and got his own finger ripped off. But there's another one about a group of boys that, for whatever reason, and it didn't give me a timeline, so I don't know when this was, if this was like Greece style, 60s, 70s, this was in the 80s, 90s.
Greece is 50s.
No, Greece was everything before the 60s.
It happened a week ago. We don't know. it's a timeless tale.
But this group of boys tried to set the crypt on fire, which it's a stone crypt. So first off, your plan is doomed to fail. But so the kid started the fire on the roof of it, which apparently there's burn marks up there. But then he was flung off the top mysteriously, and he landed on the steps in front of it and died. I'm assuming of a broken neck, because that's not that big of a fall. But one, why are you lighting a stone building on fire?
I always wondered why it looked black. So this will go back to the scorching on some of those tombstones. There's two possibilities. One, I did look up why it has those scorch appearances. And the not-so-fun answer is it's moss and lichen.
Yep.
As it dies, it stains it. But this whole crypt is almost black. So That's a lot of moss that I don't think was there. So I totally believe someone tried to light it on fire.
I'll say for my own school education stuff, I actually spent an entire week worth of class talking about lichen. When I was in Ireland, we visited a lot of cemeteries in the first week and talked about lichen growing on tombstones. So I can definitely back up the unfortunate, not fun scientific answer is usually when lichen dies, it stains. But the other thing is, lichen's hard to kill.
Yeah.
That stuff survives with very little anything.
Same with moss.
Yeah, you know. So that raises the further question of how did it die, especially if we're talking, you know, we've had groundskeepers and caretakers taking care of the place. By killing that stuff early enough, it wouldn't cause
the stains.
So it does raise questions on, even if it is the lichen answer, why did that lichen in particular leave that stain? Because, again, it would have to be there and rotting for years to leave a stain, not just, oh, I killed it with pesticide, it should wash away pretty quickly. So that makes you think more about what the whole situation is with it.
Oh, for sure. And I think with that, we can segue over to the witch's circle a little more. So one thing I wanted to mention is everyone makes a big deal out of the headstones being in a circle. But if you walk around the cemetery, there's a lot of areas like that. And, I mean, it is weird considering that everything is now in rows. Mm-hmm. But
oh, God, back in the old days, that was where we had a spot. Boom. Yeah. Well,
back in the day, they had 75 acres still.
Yeah.
They weren't thinking about the uniform way we do it now.
I mean, a lot of these relocations, like we talked about, if they wanted their whole family in a circle, that's what they did.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of geometric patterns in there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so, I mean, I just wanted to mention that. But one of the things building off the black dog is, during the research for this, I never heard that legend before. And then building off of it from this blog site, she mentioned that she went to college in Erie, and then she moved out to be like a traveling author. And she said one of her college buddies told her this, but I don't know. I couldn't find anything to back it up. But apparently the black dog not only roams near the witch's circle, but if you're hanging out there too long or you approach it, the witch's circle that is, the black dog will charge you like it's going to bite you and then vanish.
Yes.
So I thought that was pretty
– I've heard that
pretty
one.
Wild. And of course, footsteps behind you. But this black dog, definitely, especially if it's around the witch's circle, which has that history and lore to it, would definitely make it more like a hellhound than
a typical black dog.
Black dog,
which we should probably talk a little bit about what the difference is. So we know that, in case someone who's watching or listening to this isn't aware, a black dog is usually a death omen. It's not something that will kill you, but it is something that warns you that your death is
near. Imminent.
Yep. Yeah, it's coming usually within the next 24 hours.
Grim Reaper follows pretty quickly.
Yeah, but the black dog itself is not a harmful creature. It's not going to attack you. It's just there to kind of warn you that your death is there. So in typical fashion, thinking that a black dog in a cemetery, it kind of fits, but at the same time, it opens up that issue of if it's a death omen and people are seeing it, especially in a cemetery, what's there at the cemetery, which does lead us back to why, considering that the witch's circle, as it's called, is connected to satanic rituals, that leads it more to be a hellhound. So someone please take away and give us the distinction there.
So as whenever you see animals like dogs or even cats in cemeteries, one thing you have to remember is that's usually not the final resting place of animals. Mm-hmm. So whenever you see animals there, it's generally something more. It's not necessarily something evil, whereas, like we said, a black dog is an omen. It's not positive or negative charge. It's
neutral.
It's neutral.
Yeah.
It's a cell phone alert. It's a notification. Whereas a hellhound, that's a straight up virus. A hellhound is something that's oppressive, and it's something that can follow you. A hellhound, just like a poltergeist or negative energy, will drain you. And it won't just, you know, let you know that your death is coming. It may, in fact, bring death. So hellhounds are, like I said, an oppressive energy that can follow you.
Yeah, and so that's definitely what leads me to think, just from the story, is that it would be a hellhound, especially around a satanic area like that.
And it's aggressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, because I couldn't find like a first story of the dog. Like there wasn't any like
there's not an origin point.
Right. And so like the other thing I was curious because I would love to experience the dog or at least see it, is I wonder if it was ever attracted there from living people's energies. Because if you're going to explore, and especially in the older times before the internet and when people were more skeptical and more easily fooled, it'd be very easy to make that a negative location. And I'd be very interested to see if the dog was brought there just because of the overwhelming negative presence that ended up being compiled on top of whatever energy was there in the beginning.
Yeah.
The only other thing I want to mention, because we're staying impartial, is our healthy dose of skepticism. Less than, what was that, 5 years ago, there was a mother wolf walking mm-hmm. around freely in the cemetery.
Yep.
And, I mean, there's been wolves in there. There's been foxes.
Coyotes.
Yes. Coyotes.
They're always more violent. Yeah.
There's always a chance that someone's stray dog could get in there. Doesn't mean the dog's going to just vanish. So we have to keep that healthy skepticism. But this is open to the wild.
Yeah.
There's deer in there. So the fact that an animal could be loose in there is always a possibility.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up the same thing too when you're on the animals. And if a wolf is charging at you, it'd be very easy to close your eyes or try to run. And they're fast. Turn around, it could be very easily be gone.
Yeah.
And just to kind of piggyback with that as well, something that a lot of people, I wouldn't say tend to forget, but most people that go to a cemetery in general are there to mourn.
They're not in the right headspace.
They're not in the right headspace.
They're distraught.
They're very much in an emotional state. And so anything they see could be either self-conjuration, their own mind playing a trick on them. It could be actual paranormal kind of entity. Or, as we've kind of said, it could be a wild animal that they're seeing, but in their own grief, not able to comprehend that it is a physical animal and see it as something that it's not. So, yeah, that healthy dose of skepticism that we do, because we are coming to it impartial, is to remember, you know, most people that are at the cemetery that do see these things are there for a particular reason. Either they're there to look for these paranormal things. Go looking for something, you're going to find something. When in reality...
Which, flip side of that coin, if you're going in with that negative energy,
oh yeah,
any spirit can attach to you. You're a power battery for them. So it's, we like to look at this logically and a little paranormally because it's more fun, but we are open.
So before we head out, I want to take a little bit here to just talk about what we expect to happen or like what we hope to happen. For me, like I said, I would love to glimpse anything that looks like this dog just because out of everything I found, it was, you feel like someone's watching you, you can hear footsteps, creepy feelings. Like, if that dog appeared, like, being the only story about, like, a physical apparition, I think that would be really cool. We are taking different cameras out and stuff, so even if we caught any, like, orbs, or specifically, like, black mist, anything that could even look like that dog, I think that would be really cool for me. So that's my major hope. As far as what I expect, with it being a cemetery, I definitely expect, you know, the feeling that you're being watched because a lot of those spirits, they don't leave the cemetery. So when someone's in there new, poking around some of these crypts, like we are going to examine the vampire crypt, if there's a spirit in it that doesn't like to be bothered, then we're probably going to get more negative vibes and feel like definitely somebody's really looking at us. So those are what I think. What about you?
Realistically, Andrew is more in tune with spirits and everything than I think either Sean or I. But very much my own personal experience with them is that I do feel those emotions very strongly, and I feel that kind of energy that happens. I don't always, I'm not always able to see something, but I can always feel something. And so I'm anticipating feeling, at the very least, I could guarantee that I will feel a large amount of sadness, only because it is a cemetery. It's full of a lot of the dead that are stuck, and that's a lot of not negative energy, but to our modern sensibilities, we call it negative. It's very depressing energy, and I expect to feel a lot of that. But I'm hoping, you know, to be able to feel other feelings too, other type of energies. So yeah, that's what I'm hoping and expecting, actually, is to, I'm hoping to feel some positive energy, and hopefully not feel negative energy associated if we do come in contact with the dog or the witch's circle or the vampire crypt. I'm hoping not to feel that negative energy, but you know, no guarantees there.
I was gonna say, I'm hoping that we do find a dog. I mean, Alex has a new place. We're sending him home with a stray.
No! No!
But I agree. I'm not as sensitive to things as Andrew is, but much like Alex, if I'm in a place with a lot of energy, I can feel that energy. I can feel it shooting through me, and it's either very draining or it's like electricity, and you get that hair raising on your, yeah, on your skin. And it's, I've been to this location a lot, at different times of the day. So I would be happy to see any of these things. Not necessarily Satan dragging us to hell, but, if it happens, at least hopefully we get it on camera.
That's the portion of it live.
Just put everything on your cloud.
Last person to go down has to go to Facebook Live real quick.
Yep.
Oh, God.
It's going down.
As we see from every horror movie, it'll just be completely pixelated. People are like, what just happened?
So I think we're definitely in line with our expectations and hopes. So we'll go ahead, we'll get out there, and we'll see what we find. Hey everyone, this is Andrew here from Who's Our Raking Readings. I appreciate you checking out the podcast, Who's Ghost Stories, Episode 1, Ghosts of the Eerie Cemetery. I just wanted to let you know that if you are watching, if you are listening to the audio version, you are missing out on some extra content. The video version over on YouTube has pictures and video clips from the time we spent walking around the cemetery. There is some pretty cool scenic pictures, but also pictures and videos that have some orbs floating around us and hanging out in the areas. We didn't pick up on these at the time. We definitely felt, you know, the different energies in the area. We weren't keeping too much of an eye on the pictures and videos we were taking as we were taking them. So we didn't catch it in the moment either, but going back through, once we got home later, looked through everything, we noticed quite a few orbs. So I definitely recommend, if you're interested in seeing any evidence such as orbs and light anomalies, to definitely head over to the Who's Our Reiki and Readings YouTube channel and check out the video version as well. You can even skip through the introduction and go right to the videos from the cemetery. But thank you again for listening. Let's go ahead and head over to that conclusion. All right, so we just finished our walk around the Eerie Cemetery. You saw we hit up the Vampire Crypt and we hit up the Witch's Circle. We'll talk about the Vampire Crypt first here. Sorry, if I move my hand, there's this huge glare, so I gotta kind of sit weird here. So, Alex, what was your thoughts about the Vampire Crypt?
So, I didn't feel any strong emotions, but I didn't feel any emotion. Like, in fact, the wrong spot. Like, there was nothing there. It felt really off. But as I noted, and I'm sure we'll end up being part of this, is that there were some flowers planted there.
Got lucky.
Of course. There were flowers planted outside that literally meant their symbolism is do not touch. Yep. And as we were walking around,
none of us touched.
I was but I was looking around specifically for those flowers at other points, and there were none. not even at the Witch's Circle. So felt a little weird that they were there, but that's all I got.
To me, it was different that there weren't offerings. One of the things is a lot of times people will weave flowers into the grate. We did see that they recently changed from a lock to a bolt, and the cemetery is, for some reason, pretty adamant about removing that stuff from that specific vault. I don't know if it's because there's no surviving family or what it is, but that stuff gets removed regularly.
You also noticed that there was, or I guess Andrew noticed, that there was newer stonework.
Yeah. On the back of it.
Yeah, I would definitely say the energy felt neutral. It wasn't positive or negative, which was kind of a surprise. I figured that would be a place that would have a lot more imprints. But then I thought about more, and if it's mostly curious people, then it would be neutral. But yeah, we didn't even break out the pendulum there.
Yeah.
The flowers were definitely curious, but the witch's circle was definitely...
It has a different feel.
It has a very different feel. You saw with the pendulum, it was all over the place, but it's also raises a lot more questions. There were pennies lining the circle on both sides.
These were all replants. Like, these were people relocated from different cemeteries.
When we crossed into the circle, it felt like you were like a gasp of air hit me. So it was definitely a different energy feel. They were definitely old. Definitely looked a little different. What did you think about them, Alex?
The tree was interesting.
Yeah, the tree ate the one headstone.
Not only that, but the shape of the tree and the branches. The branches were all curved. We noticed there were several branches that were not connected, but still hanging in the tree, which was very interesting. But yeah, noticing that a lot of what people say are burnt headstones, a lot of it is lichen, but there is one headstone that was... It's not lichen. It's not the residue of a lichen that's been dead and wiped off. It looks like scorch marks, at least the one. The rest of them, not so much.
Which, once again, leads more on both arguments. I mean, if it would make sense if there was a summoning there and only one was burned. It's unlikely that they're all going to be burned and still remain standing. But as we said, these are replants, so that could have been damage done before the headstone was relocated here. Why you would just move a burnt headstone, I don't know. Maybe it was more expensive back then. But something to think about.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought it was weird, too, that a few of the headstones, they were thick and heavy-duty headstones, but they were snapped, like, in half.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that definitely could be, like, vandalism or something like that, but I definitely thought that was curious, because that would take a lot of effort to crack and then fully snap one of those where
right.
I was touching them, and they're pretty thick and heavy-duty, so I thought that was definitely interesting. Definitely a lot of heebie-jeebie vibes, which we noticed there were some more markers that shouldn't have been there. So, you know, there definitely could have been some agitated spirits there if people have been messing with them.
Right.
Disrespecting them. Could also be imprints from it. But with that circle of pennies and just the energy in the middle different, I would definitely feel like some stuff is validated in regards to those legends. I don't know exactly what, but it definitely was different than the rest of the cemetery.
And as we said, we never saw anything about the pennies in any of our you know, research. So that was surprising to us as soon as we saw the pennies.
Yeah, at first I just thought loose change fell out of someone's pocket, but then we noticed they were lining in front and behind all the graves and even on some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the pennies were different years. We had, I think the oldest we found was 1957. The newest was 2020. So it definitely seems like something that's been going on
for a while
and might even annually. Alex, any final thoughts on Erie Cemetery? I did not see a black dog at all.
No.
We did see a black dog, but it was a living black dog.
Yeah, it was a living black dog that belonged to people that were walking, so.
Though it didn't have a leash, so.
Yeah, I don't know. It was interesting, to say the least.
John?
I've been here plenty of times. That was my first time actually walking inside the Witch's Circle. And really, like I said, it's almost a claustrophobic feeling once you step in. It's different. Just walking around the cemetery, it's very pleasant. It just felt anxious as soon as you walked in there.
Yeah, definitely flipped 180 to a totally different energy flow. Everything was just, I wouldn't call it bad or negative, but it just was very different from the rest of the cemetery. So we'll go ahead. We'll end this episode. Thank you for checking it out. Make sure to tune in next time as we check out more spots.
See you later, guys.